very, very fine church, and stop them, come and bring us the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Urson. God is in this place. I thank my general superintendent, Brother Urson, Brother Beck, and our general secretary, and assistant general superintendents, Brother Kilgore, Brother Williams, the general board, my fellow colleagues in the gospel, my brothers and sisters, we're one family. I thank you for the opportunity to speak to you tonight. I have a burden. I don't know if I have much of a sermon, but I got a burden. I have a message from the Lord. My concern, I've shouted with you. I can run and I can shout as good as any of you. And I can do it and probably will do it before it's over. But my burden is how to get this out of this building. I feel a little selfish sometimes. I've got so much. I've been blessed. I've been healed. I've been saved. I've been strengthened. And there's a world out there that's dying. Sometimes we're patting one another on the back. I'm not being sarcastic. Just let me talk like I would if I was at home. The message I got will work for the people I pastor, and it'll preach in a home missions church of 10 people. You have your Bibles tonight. I want to tell you what we got a hold of something, and we're just not really cognizant of what we have a hold of. But there are 5 billion people out there. And we have a responsibility to get the gospel to them. Let me just read 1 John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Mark 16. You're not unfamiliar with these passages of Scripture. Mark 16, verse 17. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. 2. Acts 2, verse 15 and 16. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. My subject tonight, or whatever it may be, is simply this. Is this that? I want to ask you an honest question. Is this that? And if this is not that, we better get that. Don't get quiet on me now. It's all over me and it's keeping me alive. But I think it's good to re-examine where we are, what we've got a hold of, and what God has anticipated for His church to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, without you we can do nothing. Breathe upon us the power of the Holy Ghost. Touch the preacher tonight that he will preach the unadulterated word of God. Let us hear from heaven tonight, not from a man, not from a book and not from a philosophy, but from Thee, dear God, from the heart of God. I pray that Your Spirit will quicken the audience. I pray that Your Spirit will unctionize the preacher, that he will speak as the oracle of God to this people. May it dawn on us tonight, from the platform to the bench out there in the balcony, who we are and what we've got a hold of. Help us, Lord, to have a rebirth, a vision, and a dream, and where we're going. I ask it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. If you will give me a few moments tonight to go through the Scripture, I believe that it's very, very important that we go through the Scripture and understand. The Old Testament is composed of 66 books. Through the Old Testament, we have the creational story, the flood, the Tower of Babel, God calling Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, the beginning of a great nation. We go through a dispensation of innocence, and then conscience, and then human government, and then promise. And we end up with Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the dispensation of law. And then we step into the pages of the New Testament, and we walk through the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those Gospels, we have the birth and the heralding of the birth of the Savior. We have a few brief passages relative to His boyhood and growing up. We have that of John the Baptist declaring Him the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. We have the teachings and the ministry, the doings and the miracles of Christ, from His first miracle in Cana of Galilee, and His parables that He taught, His calling and selecting of a few chosen followers that were going to follow in His footsteps and carry on the work after He had ascended to glory. We also have His crucifixion, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And then from His resurrection, and in one gospel, His ascension, we move, if you don't mind moving with me, to the Pauline epistles, beginning with the book under the Romans, and then the letters under the church of Corinth, and on through the Pauline epistles, then to the general epistles, and then we conclude the general epistles by the writings of Jude in the book of Jude, addressed to the apostates of the latter time, those that have prevaricated and departed from the truth. We conclude the New Testament with the book of Revelation, 22 chapters, where God said to John the Revelator, write the things that thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. But I skipped one book for you tonight, and that is the book that is the pattern, that is the book that is the plan, that is the book that gives you the doings and the actions of the New Testament, Spirit-filled, anointed, Holy Ghost-empowered church that is going to change the world. And I bring you back to that book where Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that. Now allow me, I know I'm moving fast, and I've got Scripture to go to, but I want to read to you out of the book of John, for I believe John has given to us one of the most magnificent and revealing plans that Jesus had for His church. I would like to say this tonight before I go any further. I do not believe for one moment that the church is going down. I said, I don't believe that the church is going down. I don't even believe this church is backslid. I believe this church is a glorious church. In spite of what you're hearing from some folks, I'm here to tell you tonight that the church is on fire. The church has power. The church is witnessing miracles. The church is having revival. I believe it in this hour, and I thank God for it. But I want to tell you, if we could ever get the body off the pew and get the church out of the building, and ever could understand what God intends for His body to do, we would literally set this world on fire. There must be a revelation as to the plan that God has for His church. It is more than choir singing. It is more than orchestras. It is more than oratory in the pulpit. It is more than fine buildings. And it is more than parking tearing our buildings, but we are called to march through the earth and preach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ with signs and wonders following. Not a dead church, but a church that is quickened by the power of God. A church that is anointed. I want to read, just begin. Jesus said of His church, He said to His disciples one day, He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And some of them said, "You're Elijah that is resurrected." Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're a prophet. They're not sure which prophet you are. Jesus said, basically, "I'm not concerned about what the whole world's saying. But I want to know about you fellas. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I'm going to tell you, it doesn't matter what they're saying out there in the streets. It doesn't matter if they're handing out some posters out there and saying the Bible is just another old book. It doesn't matter to me what they're saying. But it does matter to God what we think of Him and what's going on in this building tonight. And as for me, I want to tell you, my God is alive and well. Simon Peter answered, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." It did not come by intellect. It did not come by book. This is a revelation from God. And I want to tell you, up on this rock, everybody say, "On this rock." On this rock, I'm going to build my church, not on Simon Peter, but on the truth of His deity. Upon this confession, I'm going to build my church. And here's what I like tonight. He said, "The gates of hell." Everybody said, "The gates of hell." "The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church." Everybody say, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church." Put your hands together and let Jesus know that you're happy for the promise. I want all hell to know. I said all hell to know that the church that I'm in is not weak. It's not insipid. And it's not going down. But I want all hell and the world to know and every demon to know that we got a hold of something. We got a hold of something. We got a name. Everybody say, "We got a name. Above every name." Hallelujah. He said, "I give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bound on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven." Chapter 12 of John and verse 24. But just before I read verse 24, if you just stay with me a few moments, you're going to see where I'm going. He said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And then He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into the world." Chapter 14. Just let me read in these chapters. Chapter 12, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, and chapter 17. You will see what the plan of Christ is for the church. In verse 12, He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." Do you folks still believe that's Bible? "Whatsoever I ask in thy name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter." Everybody said, "Another comforter." Say it again, "Another comforter." another comforter. In other words, I want to tell you, the earthly ministry of Jesus was confined to his person. Where he was where it was happening. If he was in Capernaum, that's where the blind were seeing. If he was in Galilee, that's where the deaf were hearing. If he went to the land of Judea, that's where the demon-possessed man was delivered of demons. If it was somewhere else, that's where the lepers were cleansed. But he's saying, I want to tell you, something better is getting ready to happen, because you're going to do greater works. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will you do. Even the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Why? For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Everybody say, in me. Come on, in me. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Everybody said the Holy Ghost. Which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. The 15th chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You got to get it in your heart. You got to get it just like it is. Verse 26 says simply, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Now, let me go back to chapter 12. Just before his death, he's praying his final prayer, and he's saying, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You take a little kernel of corn, you drop it in the ground, you cover it with earth, you give it sunlight and rain, and one of these days it will spring up a stalk. And on that stalk eventually will come anywhere from 3 to 5 ears of corn. On every ear of corn will come 1,100 kernels, identical to the one that has fallen in the ground. I want to tell you what Jesus had in mind. We got to get it, or we're never going to change our world. That we got Jesus on the inside. That we got the same power, the same anointing. That we got everything that he intended for his church to have. We need to wake up and understand who we are tonight. We're not just a poor bunch of Pentecostals that have no place to go. We are representing Jesus Christ to this world. We have power because Christ lives in us, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, lift your hands and praise him. Hallelujah. 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 The devil has actually fought me today, but I don't care. He just fought me. He said, you're just trying to put too much into it. But there's something said, if you can just get this into church, if ever layman, ever saint of God can understand what they have on the inside, if ever preacher that goes to the pulpit next Sunday morning of the United Pentecostal Church or any other Bible-believing, truth-believing church can step to that pulpit and say, I am not my own. I am not my own. I represent Jesus Christ to you. I stand in Christ's stead. I stand before you as Jesus, and I'm coming to you in the demonstration of the Spirit, in the power of God. We can literally shake the world. Woo! We got to get it. Luke was the writer of the Gospel of Luke. Hallelujah. He was also the writer of the book of Acts. By the way, it's the only book that has never been completed, because it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit empowered church. Every other book had an amen, but not Acts. Who knows? We may write a chapter tonight. Hallelujah. I got some folks up here close. I can feel the vibes tonight. They're feeling the Holy Ghost in this place. If we can activate what we're feeling, we're going to clean out the death section down here. I said if we could get a hold of what we're feeling tonight. Every cancer in this building. I said every cancer in this building. Devil, I'm telling you, every cancer in this building. When I start preaching that way, my mind starts working. And it wants to equate every failure, every funeral I've ever preached of someone that died of disease. But devil, I'm going to look you in the eye. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're not going to intimidate this preacher. I'm standing on the book. I'm standing on the Word of God. The devil's a liar. God still is in the healing business. I said he's still in the healing business. Every blinded eye can be opened in this building tonight. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Old Luke got to writing. He started out. He's not the author. God's the author. He's the writer. And Luke starts the book of Acts. And if you got your Bible, open it up to chapter 1. And here's what Luke's saying. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. Let's put the book down a minute. Let's go back to the four books, Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John, and we'll find out what he began to do and to teach. I said do and teach. He taught and he performed. Hallelujah. That's the God I'm serving now. That's the God. If you want to see today how the church is supposed to act, then you better get your eyes on Jesus. Because everything that Jesus did, he intended for this church to do. I said everything that he did, he intended for the church to do. He healed. He raised the dead. I said he raised the dead. There's a wild spirit coming on me right now that feels like we ought to raise the dead in this hour. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm telling you, my God has not changed. There's some of you that think that your God is visiting us on a different dimension today than he visited church number one. But it's not so. I said it's not so. It's not so. The God that I serve, he's powerful. He's major. Woo! I got to come back. But he said, now you can be seated. But he went to verse 2. Brother Bo Baker, I see you up there. Come up here. Please, come on up, Brother Bo. Brother Baker, where are you? I got something. You're going to help me preach here just a moment. And Christopher Cock, would you come? You don't even know you're in this. But something's come on me, and I'm going to use a couple fellas here tonight. They're going to stand with me. Come on, just stand right here, Christopher. Now, if you have your Bible, let's go to chapter 1, verse 2. He's already said, Theophilus, I wrote you, I addressed you, I give you what Jesus began to do and teach. Come, Brother Baker. But he said, that was until the day, in verse 2, in which he was taken up. Taken up. Come on, say taken up. And after that, say after that, he through the Holy Ghost. Whew. You're just sitting there, it hadn't dawned on you.
He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Where is that Holy Ghost tonight? Am I preaching to a bunch of folks that have never got it yet? Am I preaching to folks that are full of the Holy Ghost? I want to know a question. Do you have it or does it have you? He, through the Holy Ghost. I told you what he began to do, but he's not stopped. Everything he began, he's able to finish. Ha ha, hallelujah. Now look at, these are both my friends here tonight. Christopher, are you 15? 15. I'm not going to ask you, Brother Baker, how old you are. Brother Baker, you don't have the privilege of doing this. If you come up here tonight and you touched his, he just bulges up here. He's preached a couple revivals, and it seemed like when he was preaching, his church shirt just wanted to snap up here. Heavy, strong. He's taken a few barbells in his life, and he's lifted them up. I don't know what he can press, but I'll guarantee you, in his prime, he could push about 300 over his head. He's a strong brother. I'm glad he's a brother. Christopher Cock, my good friend, 15 years of age. We're just not going to mess around about it. He's not going to press 300 over his head. I don't know, Christopher, what you can do, but maybe 130 would be right now, stretching it just a little bit, and I may be clear off. What is it?
140.
See, I was pretty close. Now, what I want to tell you, church, is this. I'm talking about that first century church and this 20th century church. I'm telling you that that first century church went out of that upper room and they hit the streets of Jerusalem. And they set Jerusalem on fire. Listen, they did everything that Jesus did. They said, we've been with him, we've observed him, we have watched him, we watched him, and he said that he was coming back, and he was going to live on the inside of us, and greater works than he did, we were going to do. He said all of those things, and we're so close to watching him, that whatever he did, that's what we want to do. And so that first century church, they exercised their power. They exercised their faith. Their faith come upon them. And they just imagined and they believed that they could do it. No matter what the world said, they just shut their eyes to it. What we need to do today is shut our eyes to all these professors, to all these agnostics and atheists and unbelieving church members and dead Pentecostals that believe God is dead and he's not doing the same thing. And what we need to do is get a new revelation that our God has not changed. That he's just the same today as he's ever been. If we are going to take the world, we're going to have to get the church out of the building, on the streets. Let me tell you something. Brother Paul Baker here, he represents that first century church. He's bulging. He's exercising. He can press it up. And Brother Christopher, he's representing us. Don't get mad at me. He's representing this 20th century church. But I want to tell you something. You look at those two men. The bone structure of those two is identical. It's just the same. They have the same muscles. It's all there. They have the same fiber. They both have a heart, they have two legs, they have arms, they have a head. But one of them has developed it, and the other has not yet had the time to. And I want to tell you, we serve the same God. We got the same Holy Ghost. I said we got the same Holy Ghost. Nothing has changed as far as God's concerned. We need to take what we got. Come on, get your hand up like a little child. We need to take what we got. And we need to use it. Everybody say, use it. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, brethren. We got it. Hallelujah. Give them a hand tonight. And then give Jesus a hand. Because the power of God is in our midst. Hallelujah. What we must do is take what we've got and use it. Because my God has not changed. I want to ask you a few simple questions. I appreciate the fact that I have your attention tonight and you're listening. But the apostle said in the 16th verse of chapter 2, he said, this is that. I want to ask you a question. Is this that? And if this is not that, I want that. And if anything's in my way from getting that, I want to kick it out of the way. Because I want that. Nothing must get in my way. I want the old time Holy Ghost and power. I want demons cast out. I want blinded eyes open. I want deaf ears unstopped. Oh, hallelujah. I want to see the dead raised. And the world hear the gospel preached to them. We're not preaching a weak gospel. It's a gospel that sets drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes. In fact, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, and he's saying, whoremongers, liars, adulterers, fornicators cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. God, I tell you, as humble as I know how, deliver us from self-righteousness. We are nothing outside of Jesus. Oh, Bible says, chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Let me preach on John 17, the oneness prayer that Jesus prayed. He prayed the prayer of unity for his body. He prayed the prayer of oneness for his body. You can't speak 65 different things and get where we're going. I said you can't speak 65 different things. Pastors, I want you to know one thing, and I'm not going to come back and apologize for 1 minute, but I'm going to tell you, you're looking at a preacher that when he stands in his pulpit, he preaches the new birth. You're looking at a preacher that preaches against the world and hell and television and rotten, corrupt Hollywood videos. I just want you to know that before I go any further. I want you to know that I don't want any of this old filthy, rotten world. And the people that are being converted in our churches today are sick of the world. Our problem is not with the world out there, lost sinner. Our problem is with backslidden church members and preachers. Sorry about that. What a call. Unity. In fact, if you just walk with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife, God, divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I'm telling you, we don't need factions. We don't need special interest groups, pardon me. What we need to do is focus our heart and our attention on the glorious gospel that Jesus has given us and march into the streets of our city and preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you, you get a hot red flame in the church and you'll get the world out of the church quicker than any other way I know. You get people fasting and praying and seeking God and they won't want this filthy world anymore. In fact, the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis describes to us what can happen when God looked down after the flood. And he looked down at those folks and they said, "We're going to build us a tower and a city and a tower into heaven." And God come down. They had evil hearts. And he observed the situation. And he said, "They'll do it." He said, "They're one and they're like-minded. They have unity. And even though they're evil, because they're one and they have unity," this is what he said. Look at your Bible if you want to, chapter 11. "Nothing can be restrained from these people." So what did God do? He did what the devil's been doing to us for a whole lot of years. He walked down there and he confused their concepts and their speech and their tongue and their attitudes and their ideals. And he confused them so much they couldn't build a city and they never built a tower. And the devil's been attempting to do the same thing to the church. Walk in amongst us and sow discord and sow gossip among us and keep us from being the church that God wants us to be. I'm telling you, it's the devil and we better kick him out. We have no place for the devil. We must not listen to Satan. If we're going to have what the early church had, we are going to have a spirit of unity. Second thing about it, he said they were in one place. It looks pretty good in here right now. Thank you, Brother Urson, for those wonderful words of admonition to us. Most folks are sitting. But I'm going to tell you, there's something about the house of God. I don't care what kind of sports has went on in this building. Right now, heaven is focused on this place. This is the house of God. The Holy Ghost is here. Jesus is here. He's here in me. He's here in my superintendent. He's here in the general board. He's here in all of us. Jesus is here. You better be careful how you talk. I'm going to tell you what. The church I pastor, I can only talk about it. I believe that church that is used for the glory of God should be used as a holy place. I know I'm treading on some thin ground, but God brought me here tonight. And my little family gathered with me this afternoon for 1 hour in my room, and we had a prayer meeting. And my children laid their hands on me, and they said, "Dad, we're praying for you tonight." And we were talking in tongues. And I know that God has given me this moment to minister to you. But I do not believe the church house should be turned into a carnival. I do not believe that it's a place to sell tickets for anything that goes on in the church house. Jesus said, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." You made it a den of thieves. If that's too straight for you, you pastor your church the way you want to pastor it. But when sinners walk into that building, I want them to feel that holy presence of God as they walk into that place. It's not a carnival. It's not an entertainment hall. It's a place where there's a kind of glory and the Holy Ghost. Woo! Hallelujah! How can we pattern ourselves after everything the world is patterning themselves after and expect the Holy Ghost to hover over us? It's time for us to get that. I said that. I want everything they had. I want it like they had it. I don't want just a little teaspoon of it. I want a bucket of it. I want a river of it. I want everything they have. I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I'm going to ask everybody to reach over and take the hand of your neighbor. And we are going to do it. Do it. Not maybe, do it. And do it quick. We're going to yoke up together and we're going to pray. We're going to pray for the United Pentecostal Church. We're going to pray for the oneness body on earth. We're going to pray that God will give us such a dynamic outpouring, a holy awe, a hallowed respect for the presence of God. Come on, let's pray. Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, open up the windows of heaven. Send every pastor, every church, every city a mighty revival. Overseas, in every continent, in every nation, every country, every village, every city. I'm asking you, Jesus, send a mighty revival. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Do you realize, brothers and sisters, how close we are to something mighty happening? Oh, hallelujah. Let me continue. Suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind. Everybody say wind. Say from heaven. John, the third chapter, talks about the wind bloweth where it listeth. You cannot bottle it up. You cannot box it up. I ask you in Jesus' name to take anything off that what I would say tonight would be offensive to you. But I'm going to tell you, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother, I just feel like God, I need to preach on just a moment. You just hold right there. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. But I'm not quenching the Spirit of God. Don't think that for a moment, saints. I know exactly where I'm at. I'm talking about the wind right now. I'm talking about that wind. You know, there's a lot of us that if we can't control something, we don't believe in it. Let it sink down in you. If we can't put our hand on it and box it up and control it, we think it's all wrong. But I want to tell you, you're never going to control my God. For the wind bloweth where it listeth. It's going to jump over, hear me, it's going to jump over some walls, and it's going to strike some denominations that you've been preaching against for 35 years. But I want to tell you, you didn't give it to them, and neither did I. But I got a God up in heaven that made up his mind there was somebody hungry over there. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying their theology's right. Don't you walk out of here and say that. You'll answer to God for that. I'm saying that I read to you tonight that the Holy Ghost was given to us to lead us, was it not? And to guide us, what? Into all truth. How are they going to find the truth except he give them the Holy Ghost first? The wind bloweth where it listeth. And just because a group over here and a group over there and a group over here is speaking in tongues and has the Holy Ghost, do you think for one minute I'm going to turn my back on the apostles' doctrine and walk away from what I've got, why, you're out of your gourd or mind. God has given me the most wonderful thing. I'm going to lead them up to where I'm at. We're not backtracking. We're going to stand for the apostles' doctrine. I'll get to that in a few moments. And the next thing he said, and the Holy Ghost, tongues like as a fire, set up on each of them. And I'd like to preach tonight for a half hour about the fire. I know a lot of folks that's got the Holy Ghost, but I want to tell you, God wants the church to come back and get some fire. Some fire. Some fire. Some fire in the pew. Some fire in the prayer room. Some fire in the pulpit. Fire! Holy Ghost and fire! Woo! The kind that makes you shake. The kind that makes you dance. The kind that makes you jump. The kind that gets you out of that pew. Holy Ghost and fire. The kind that sets the dead heads on fire. The kind that builds a fire under the backsliders. The kind of fire that fell on the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. I appreciate you folks getting with it. You can sure see where the fire is tonight. Oh, hallelujah. We need a rebirth of zeal. Everybody said zeal. This old business of dragging into church. This old business of singing songs and yawning at the same time. You, but as a pastor, I'm going to be on that platform when church starts. I'm not dragging in. Nobody's going to get ahead of me. I'm going to be there when it all happens. I want to be like David. I was glad when they said unto me, I was glad, I was glad, I was glad, I couldn't wait. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We need some zeal. The kind of zeal that gets off a pew, gets out on the street, hands out some tracts, teaches some old Bible study, preaches some prison services, preaches some street services, and converts the world to this wonderful message. Folks, I love shouting. I believe it's the will of God for us to shout every so often. I believe it's the will of God for us to run aisles. I like it. I like liberty. But there's been times when the church that I pastor, that there hadn't been 5% of them that wasn't jumping up and down. Even the old ladies got to jumping around. And I'd look at that and oh, it was like a blue haze, Shekinah glory, heaven. I felt it all over my body. I felt like you just bring them in on stretchers and our shadow is so powerful. But then something whispered to me and said, if you could just bottle this up and take it out and start pouring it on the street and get it out there where it belongs. This belongs out there. I said it belongs out there. It is so good that the world needs to feel what we got hold of. They need to feel what's tingling in my toes. We need that zeal. We used to sing a little song, it's all over me and it's keeping me alive. It's been so long since I've heard that song. But I'm going to tell you, it's all over me. When that choir was singing a little while ago and God was blessing that choir, I thought if we could just get this down on the main street of Indianapolis, if we could get it in the hospitals, if we could get it in the prisons, no telling what would happen. Another thing the Holy Ghost and fire gives us is boldness. I said boldness. Would you say it with me? Bold. That boldness. You'll notice all the way through the book of Acts, they marveled at the boldness, 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 boldness. They've been with Jesus, boldness. They had the Holy Ghost, boldness, 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 boldness. With the Holy Ghost came boldness. This is no time for timid Christians. I said, this is no time for timid Christians. This is no time to just sort of halfway pat your hands and pat a cake for Jesus. This is no time to give sermonettes for Christianettes. This is no time to mumble words in the pulpit. This is the time to declare the whole counsel of God. This is a time for the church to have a baptism of boldness. A boldness. A boldness that will shake the gates of hell. A boldness that will bring light to those that are in darkness. A boldness that will bring hope to those that are hopeless. Boldness. Put your hands together and say, Jesus, I thank you for the boldness. Boldness. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, not a third of them. That's why I preach just like the apostles. The essentiality. When you start backtracking and say you can have it if you'd like it, it won't be long till you got a whole lot of folks that don't like it. So they won't have it. And then they'll say, can we sing in the choir? Can we teach Sunday school? Can we be on the deacon board? No. No, you can't. You need this good old Holy Ghost down on the inside. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. As the Spirit gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Tongues. I just want to nail it down while I'm here. There's some folks today talking to us that you don't have to speak in tongues to get the Holy Ghost anymore. They're out of the Bible and in Mark Twain. They're out of the Bible and in some other book. But I want to tell you, if you want to believe this good old book, just follow its pattern. There's one pattern for the church. It's the book of Acts. One pattern. Don't go to the epistles and tell me how the church was born. Don't go to the book of Revelation and tell me how this church come into existence. Don't go back into the Old Testament. You go to the book of Acts and I'll show you how the church was born. Hallelujah. Tongues. We don't seek tongues either. We seek the Holy Ghost. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you get the tongues. Now, the Bible said there were 17 nationalities there, and they all began to speak in their own tongue. And the Bible said in their tongues, they spake, listen, the wonderful works of God. Say it with me. The wonderful works of God. Say it again. The wonderful works of God. Say it again. The wonderful works of God. They didn't talk about all the murders in the street. They didn't talk about all the rapes on the street. They didn't talk about all the muggings. They didn't talk about the filthy politics that was going on. They didn't talk about all the church problems. They spoke the wonderful works of God. You hear what I'm saying? When we get together, we need to declare that our God is wonderful. Let's talk about the miracles. Let's talk about the healings. Let's talk about the new churches. Let's talk about evangelizing the world. Let's talk about the military revival. Let's declare the wonderful works of God. Let's talk about the healings. Let's talk about the marvelous thing that God is doing. I feel compelled tonight to say that our greatest enemy, for the most part, is not the devil. And it's not the world. They're prime candidates for what we got to hold of. Our greatest enemy is within us. I'm losing some of you. But it's the same. It's right. I know where I'm at. I want to tell you, ever so often I get what you get. A little junk mail. comes along by the way of United States Post Office. And if I read it, my spirit drops. If I read it, I feel dirty. If I read it, I feel like something's nasty going on. It just taints my spirit. I don't want it. My wife, I explained to her a couple of years ago, I said, honey, every time this trash comes, don't lay it by my bed. Don't leave it in the house. When you look at the top and the name of it, put it in the trash can. Not one kid is to read it. The preacher's not to read it. I will not read it. I want to declare the wonderful works of God, and I don't want to know about the dirty laundry. I'm sorry, but I am preaching. I got a hold of this microphone tonight, and I am preaching now. I don't want to know anything about the trash. I want revival. I want to see the miracles. I want the Holy Ghost to move in our midst. And you just stand there a moment if you want to. Some of you are saying, but how in the world are we going to know what's going on? How are we going to take care of business if we don't read it? The God you're serving is too little. The God I serve is big enough to take care of His church without getting involved in some nasty political arena. Brothers and sisters, I'm looking at some fine folks tonight. What we need to do when we wake up in the morning is to declare. Declare. Put your hand up in the air and say, declare. Say it again. Declare the wonderful works of God. I like the kind of phone calls that come in the morning. Say, Pastor, you don't know what happened in our house last night. We had a prayer meeting. Two got the Holy Ghost in my neighborhood. Another phone call comes in. Said we were teaching Bible study last night.